She imagines explaining her thesis to an enthralled audience. She revisits her source material often to refresh her memory on what information is available and to stoke the flames of her intellectual curiosity. On a couple of occasions, she even shoehorns her poor roommates into listening to her talk through the current state of her paper idea. By the time Friday rolls around, she has a pretty good idea of how she will present this story. She will start with explaining the philosophical connection between Alston and Friedrich's work, as outlined in that original source she found during her thesis hunting expedition, explain how this philosophy matches Coleridge's philosophy, and then provide a compelling connection between Coleridge and each of the two artists. That afternoon, Mindy organizes the personal copies of her sources into three piles, one for each of these three major pieces of her story. She also attends office hours once again. This time, she is able to explain to her professor the specifics of her argument and provide examples of the sources she is using to support the argument. He still seems excited about the thesis and provides some good advice on how to make the argument slightly stronger. Armed with this knowledge, Mindy spends the weekend constructing her topic-level outline. This takes time, since she has to copy many quotes from her sources and into her outline document. However, she basically did no hard work during the preceding week other than thinking about her argument whenever she had a free moment, so a little effort over the weekend is not an unreasonable demand. By Sunday afternoon, Mindy has constructed a thoughtful outline full of quotes from her sources. She has already discussed her argument with her professor, but before she begins to write, she wants some more opinions. That afternoon, she sets up meetings with two of her classmates to discuss their paper ideas. During both meetings, Mindy is surprised by how little work has been accomplished by her peers. Most of them are just starting their search for a thesis, but she does get good feedback on her own argument. Mindy integrates this feedback into her outline and can now go to sleep confident that the structure of her paper is solid. Monday to Sunday, last week before due date. Mindy's plan is to write a little bit each day of the week with the goal of using the weekend only to edit. Writing, however, takes time, and Mindy's week is busy. Not surprisingly, she doesn't quite meet her goal of finishing an entire rough draft by Friday, but she comes close. When you have a detailed topic-level outline, writing moves much quicker than when you have to continually search through your sources. That said, this weekend will definitely be a busy one if Mindy is going to get this paper finished and edited in time. Understanding the urgency of the looming deadline, Mindy goes into crisis writing mode on Saturday. Starting early in the morning, Mindy holes herself up in a quiet medical library at the outskirts of campus. Armed with energy-boosting snacks and a thermos of coffee, she writes continually, taking short breaks every 50 minutes until her rough draft is complete. At 40 pages long, the paper is both considerable and well thought out. Nevertheless, Mindy is worried about leaving all of the editing until the day before, so after a relaxing dinner, she begins her argument adjustment pass on her computer screen. She's tired from a long day of writing, so she makes it through only about a third of the paper before she throws in the towel and goes out to have some fun with her friends for the rest of the night. Getting that little piece of editing done, however, will make her task tomorrow easier to handle. Sunday morning, Mindy picks up where she left off. By lunchtime, she has finished the argument adjustment pass, and now things are starting to look good. After lunch, she hits the gym for an hour to revive her energy and spends some time with a friend to relax and let her mind recharge. Later that afternoon, she brings a printout of her paper to her dorm room and begins her out loud pass. After a break for dinner, she continues this slow but necessary process. By 9 p.m., she finishes the pass. By 10:30 p.m., she has finished integrating the marked changes into her paper. Time for sleep. Monday, the due date. Monday morning, Mindy blocks out 1.5 hours to conduct her sanity pass. Reading through a printout of the paper rather quickly, she notices a couple of little fixes. More important, however, her confidence in the paper builds. After all the hard work, she is proud of her argument. It's well considered, well supported, and well written. She is excited for her professor to read this. When class time finally rolls around, Mindy hands in her paper with a smile on her face. She is secretly amused to notice the bleary-eyed stagger with which many of her classmates enter the classroom. For many, this paper came together in a one-week frenzied marathon of simultaneous research and writing. Mindy's work is going to shine compared to these last-minute efforts. The result? No surprises here. Mindy's work is a standout. She receives an A+ and a page full of glowing comments from her professor. What's important is that Mindy did not spend any more time actually writing than her classmates. In fact, her time at the keyboard was probably less than most of her peers because when Mindy sat down in front of the computer, she already knew exactly what to say. Also important, Mindy avoided any painfully long work pushes. Outside of a semi-late night on the day before the due date and a long day of writing 2 days before the due date, Mindy avoided ever putting in more than a handful of hours on any given day. Constructing a standout A paper hardly interfered with her schedule at all. That's what's so amazing with the straight A strategy. It improves your grade and makes the process seem less time-consuming. Case study number 2. Chris's film studies. Critical analysis essay. After the intense, month-long effort described in the previous case study, we now move to the opposite end of the paper writing spectrum. Here we focus on the comparatively simple process of writing a short critical analysis essay. Specifically, we consider Chris, whose film studies course features a weekly essay assignment. Every Monday, his class watches a film and then is assigned several readings on its merits. The class is then responsible for writing a short, 2 to 5 pages, critical analysis essay about the film, describing the student's opinion and how it compares and contrasts to those outlined in the articles read in class that week. The essay is then due the following Monday. Monday, 1 week before the due date. Because these essays are due every week, Chris has discovered through trial and error a smart timeline for getting the work done with a minimal impact on his ever-busy schedule. It works as follows. Monday is for choosing a couple of reading assignments from his syllabus to really read carefully. Tuesday through Thursday is for finishing these readings, Saturday is for outlining, and Sunday is for writing and editing. On Monday, following his timeline, Chris briefly reviews the syllabus for the week. Usually there are 3 or 4 readings assigned, but Christopher has learned that it's usually sufficient to draw from just 2 sources in his essay. He likes to choose these 2 in advance so he knows where to focus his attention. After a quick skim of the introductions, he settles on a pair of readings that seem to come to an opposite conclusion about the movie. One loves it, the other hates it. These sort of stark oppositions tend to provide a lot of meat for a quick analysis. Tuesday, 6 days before the due date. Chris completes the first reading. It's a chapter from a book and somewhat complicated. He tries to take careful notes on his laptop using the question evidence conclusion format described in part 2. He runs out of time before dinner and ends up having to return to the library later that evening to get the reading done. No big deal. Wednesday, 5 days before the due date. Chris tackles his second reading. This time, he has a good 2-hour chunk set aside in the morning when his energy is high. His progress is steady, and he finishes with time to spare. Thursday and Friday, 4 to 3 days before the due date. Chris doesn't need to think about the essay during these 2 days. He has more than enough other schoolwork to keep him busy on Thursday, and Friday, as always, is dedicated to burning off a week of built-up social energy with his friends. Saturday, 2 days before the due date. During the afternoon, Chris prints out his reading notes. As is his habit, he rereads the notes in his dorm room and then takes the long route to the library, thinking about the structure of his essay along the way. He has already decided that he agrees more with the reading assignment that liked the movie. The argument presented in this reading focused mainly on the technical aspects of the film, discussing how the mixture of stark lighting and fast cuts presented a refreshingly modern take on film noir. Chris agrees with these technical arguments, but he also remembers liking the dialogue. At the time, he noted only that it sounded interesting to his ear, but now, in the light of this particular reading, it dawns on him that what made the dialogue so interesting was its mixture of old-style film noir catchphrases and a fast, slang-rich, modern street diction. This seems like a cool extension to the argument from the reading, and Chris decides to make this the centerpiece of his essay. Chris arrives at his favorite study carrel hidden in a dark corner of the library, pulls out his laptop, and puts together a rough topic outline. He decides to follow a classic format. He will start with a brief summary of the two readings he chose to focus on. He will briefly acknowledge the negative critiques as being, for the most part, true, but then contest that the good qualities of the film outweigh the bad. Here he will flesh out some more details of the positive reading, then add his own extension to this argument by discussing how the dialogue reinforces a similar combination of old and new. A quick conclusion calling the movie an important work will cap the essay nicely. When he's done, the topic skeleton reads as follows. Summary of pro and con readings. Acknowledge and dismiss con reading. More detailed summary of pro reading. My argument on the dialogue as modernizing force. Conclusion. His next step is to copy the relevant quotes from the two assignments into this outline. Because he is dealing with only two sources, each of which he reads carefully, this process doesn't take long. Finally, even though he has other things to do, Chris holds out for another half hour to write a rough draft of his introduction. For whatever reason, he has found that having some writing done, even if it is only a paragraph, makes it easier to start the next day. Sunday, one day before the due date. After sleeping off the effects of a party the night before, Chris returns to the library. As is always the case, Sunday afternoons are for writing, so he knows exactly what to do. Armed with his topic outline and an already written introduction, this process takes no more than a couple of hours. He heads to an early dinner with a rough draft of the essay complete. Later that night, Chris completes a quick argument adjustment pass and then prints out a copy to do his out loud pass. Because the essay is only a few pages long, these two passes take no more than an hour. After a TV break, Chris spends 15 minutes doing a sanity pass, and that's it. He's done. He prints out a final draft and jams it in his bag so he won't forget it the next morning. The result. Once again, our straight-A student didn't spend any more time reading sources and writing than most of his classmates, but this essay, like his others, will get an A. Why? Because he separated the reading from the thinking and the thinking from the writing. This leads to a well-thought-out argument, clearly articulated. By finishing his reading on Wednesday, Chris had 2 days for the ideas to float around in the background of his mind. By the time he began thinking about his outline on Saturday, this material had been well digested. By completing a topic-level outline and then waiting a night before starting to write, Chris had even more time to mull, consciously or not, over his argument in this more polished state. By the time he sat down at his computer on Sunday, the key pieces of this essay had been worked and reworked internally over a long period. This extra attention to the argument came through in his assignment, and not surprisingly, a high grade followed. Part 3 Cheat Sheet. Step number 1, target a titillating topic. Start looking for an interesting topic early. Step number 2. Conduct a thesis hunting expedition. Start with general sources and then follow references to find the more targeted sources where good thesis ideas often hide. Step number 3. Seek a second opinion. A thesis is not a thesis until a professor has approved it. Step number 4. Research like a machine. Find sources. Make personal copies of all sources. Annotate the material. Decide if you're done. If the answer is no, loop back to number 1. Step number 5, craft a powerful story. There is no shortcut to developing a well-balanced and easy-to-follow argument. Dedicate a good deal of thought over time to getting it right. Describe your argument in a topic-level outline. Type supporting quotes from sources directly into your outline. Step number 6, consult your expert panel. Before starting to write, get some opinions on the organization of your argument and your support from classmates and friends who are familiar with the general area of study. The more important the paper, the more people who should review it. Step number 7, write without the agony. Follow your outline and articulate your points clearly. Write no more than 3 to 5 pages per weekday and 5 to 8 pages per weekend day. Step number 8. Fix, don't fixate. Solid editing requires only 3 careful passes. The argument adjustment pass, read the paper carefully on your computer to make sure your argument is clear, fix obvious errors, and rewrite where the flow needs improvement. The out loud pass, carefully read out loud a printed copy of your paper, marking any awkward passages or unclear explanations. The sanity pass, a final pass over a printed version of the paper to check the overall flow and to root out any remaining errors. Conclusion. All the people I ever admired and respected led balanced lives. Studying hard, partying hard, as well as being involved in activities and getting a decent amount of sleep each night. I really think this is the only logically defensible way of doing things. Chris, a straight-A college student. Congratulations. You're about to embark on a new and exciting chapter in your college experience. It doesn't matter if you agree with every piece of advice you just encountered. What's important is that by making it this far, you've learned 2 crucial insights. 1, brute force study habits are incredibly inefficient. And 2, it is possible to come up with techniques that work much better and require much less time. With this in mind, you are now prepared to leap past the majority of your classmates and begin scoring top grades without sacrificing your health, happiness, or social life. I leave you, however, with 1 last request. Once you put these ideas into practice and begin to experience their many benefits, remember what your academic life was like before your transformation. Then, the next time you see a poor student huddled in the library, bleary-eyed after an all-nighter, or encounter a friend near a nervous breakdown from the sheer stress of looming deadlines, take him aside and let him know that it doesn't have to be this way. Tell him that studying doesn't just mean reading and rereading your notes and assignments as many times as possible, nor does paper writing necessitate all-night marathons at the keyboard. These tasks don't have to be so draining. They don't have to be something you fear. With the right guidance, a willingness to eschew conventional wisdom, and a little experimentation, academics can be transformed into one of the most satisfying and fulfilling components of your college experience. You know this now. Share your knowledge. As our generation finds itself increasingly stressed and disillusioned with life paths that we feel have been imposed upon us from the outside, this lesson takes on a particular importance. By mastering the skills in this book, you are, in effect, taking control of your own young life. You are declaring to the world that you're not at college just because it seemed like the thing to do. Instead, you're there to master new areas of knowledge, expand your mental abilities, and have some fun in the process. You're also denying your major or the climate of the job market the right to dictate what you can or can't do after graduation. By scoring exceptional grades, you are opening the door to many interesting and competitive opportunities that allow you, and not anyone else, to make the decision of what post-college pursuits will bring you the most fulfillment. In the end, therefore, this book is about so much more than just grades. It is about taking responsibility for your own journey through life. I wish you the best of luck in this adventure, and hope this advice helps you to launch an exciting future. This is Jonathan McLean. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of How to Become a Straight-A Student, The Unconventional Strategies Real College Students Use to Score High While Studying Less by Cal Newport. This program was directed by Olivia McKenzie Smith. Executive Producer, Nick Martorelli. Text copyright 2007 by Cal Newport. Production copyright 2019, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.